Good? I look professional. Well, crap. Something's wrong right there. I don't want to look professional. All right, let's talk about Agile and architecture. I mean, let's talk about whatever it says right there. So I show I'm 1 minute late, which means that you're going to be 1 minute late too. Unless I can talk super uber fast. So my name is Mitch Lacey. I grew up in California. Californians talk fast. If I'm talking fast, you will not offend me if you go, hey, slow down, or just go like that, meaning slow down, okay? How's everybody's English with the reading and the good? You can read all that? Good, because I don't like reading slides. So this is about me. I'll give you the summary. Where do I start? I've been a project manager since I was 10 years old. Serious, true story. I used to organize the lemonade stands in the neighborhood, and I would sell the supplies. Well, I would skim off the top, right? So I would get the supplies, and I would have all the other kids work out there all day. And then I would be the guy. I would, you know, get 60%, give them 40% after cost. It was great because I had to do all the work for 3 hours in the morning, and I'm done. They got to stay out there all day, and it's hot and it's sunny. Yeah, nothing like exploiting child labor. I did my stint at Microsoft. I started at 99 as a vendor, CSG. Went over there part-time again in 2000. Left in 99, started again in 2000, end of 2000, full-time in 2001, left in 2006. While I was there, I had an opportunity to do two things. Number one, really screw things up. Number two, fix all the screw-ups I made. Now, let me tell you about those. Not the first mistake. God, I made mistakes forever. My real mistake that I made was I had this awesome plan. We were building our Poptimization system. So you remember dial-up internet access? Back in the 50s, you put a phone number in, you get a list of phone numbers back, right? So I had to rebuild this system. I had a team of 13 people, had a nice, great, big project plan. Long story short, we got to the end. We figured out we needed to re-architect our system. Now, we had an architect help us in the beginning. Went over to him, and I went, and kicked him. And I'm just kidding. But we had to re-architect our system because the thing was not performant. We followed all guidelines, all standards. Everything was done to the T. Went over and had a chat with the SQL team. So I got a buddy on the SQL team. So I call him up and I go, hey, Philip, we've got this little performance issue. We need a hot fix. We thought we needed a hot fix. And he goes, all right, come on over. This is in 2004. Pop on over. We go over there. We got their guys, our guys, you know, and their guys are looking at our code and they're looking at our architecture. And one of them, you know, two of them are in the corner talking. And Philip and I were looking at each other and we look at these guys and they go, what's up? And they go, yeah, we really don't think it's a hot fix issue. We think your architecture is flawed and you're just going to have to rebuild the entire system. You can imagine how we felt. We shipped 5-6 months late. It happened to be right at review time as well. Review and bonus time, that was perfect timing on my part because, you know, I'm the PM. So that opened my eyes to doing things differently. Not the same thing repeated, but things actually different. Okay? So what I had to do was... I'm going to skip the slide. What I had to do was think about what does it mean to do things differently? Well, what I needed to do was turn my brain 180 degrees around. Instead of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, I needed to do a different thing to get a different result. Because like for those of you that have cable, if you have noise on your cable line, if you have a bad signal and you put an amplifier on it and you amplify it, what happens? What do you get more of? Noise. That's doing the same thing, only better. Okay? Just so we're clear. That's doing the same thing, only better. You get a little good, but you get a lot of bad. Noise sucks. We don't want that. Okay? So I had to do things differently. So I spent the next, 2-3 years inside the company experimenting and running Agile projects. That was what I did. Ward Cunningham. Who knows Ward Cunningham? Anybody know his name? A few people? So Ward Cunningham worked at the company at the time. He was one of our project coaches. Ward Cunningham is one of the creators of Extreme Programming. He's also, if you've ever heard of a wiki, he invented that. He's a smart guy. He's fun to be around. Jim Newkirk. How about Jim? Anybody know Jim Newkirk? He created NUnit. So he was another one of our coaches. So that was fun too. Jim and I still keep in touch today and we have a good rapport, but Jim's a good guy. So these are the people that helped coach our team. So we were free to experiment with whatever we wanted. Architecture was one of the things that we experimented with. Does that make anybody nervous when we experiment with architecture? Now let me ask the question. How many architects are in the room? Raise your hand if you're a software architect or a solution architect or whatever it may be. Okay? Not bad. So about 25%. Do you like it when guys like me, the guys that say, just let it evolve. You like that? Make you nervous a little bit? A little bit? Yeah, totally. Makes me nervous. I don't like evolution. Okay, so when we talk about what is software architecture, right? Here's a source from a web page. What's software architecture? An overall view of the solution to the problem. What else does it say? High-level design of modular components. That's all fine and dandy. Do you guys agree with this? For the most part, good enough, right? Okay, architecture to me is, let's figure out how we're going to get stuff done across the board. So let's talk about, we know what Agile is. Let's talk about what Agile projects are. Let's talk about what Agile is before we talk about how we do architecture so I can tell you what the baseline is so we're all working from the same page, okay? Real world Agile. People think Agile means no documentation. Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Agile means no documentation. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, good. 4. I like it. How about this one? Agile means no architecture or design. Just code it. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah? That's a good one, isn't it? We're agile. We don't need architecture. We don't need design. I'm just going to write the code. It's like, yeah. Yeah. There's a solution for that. You go down to Toys R Us, you know, the world's biggest toy store. It's called, Fisher Price has it out. It's called My First Website. Okay? Jackasses. How about this one? Structured testing. We're agile. We just write code. We don't need to do anything else. Right? And blah, blah, blah. So what does it really mean? So what is it? It's this. We're going to try something called extreme programming. That means no more planning and no more documentation. Just start writing code and complaining. I'm glad it has a name. That was your training. You've seen this one, right? I love this one. Because what does this mean? What is this? This is undisciplined. This is unstructured, undisciplined. As software architects, as software professionals, are we undisciplined? Sometimes, depending on who won the night before. Who won today, by the way? Argentina win? Okay. That'll be interesting. All right. Unstructured. Couldn't be farther from the truth. The difference is, though, is how do we structure it? What does it look like? How many people know what Scrum is? Raise your hand if you've heard of it. Wow. Raise your hand if you are have you've worked on a Scrum project. Okay, half. Raise your hand if you've now worked on a real Scrum project, meaning not a Scrum but project. We do Scrum but we don't have a stand-up, we don't have a product owner, we don't know our velocity. Okay, raise your hand if you've worked on a real Scrum project. Okay, another tenth. You guys that raise your hand, real Scrum projects, is there architecture in Agile? Should be, okay. Who else had their hand up? Yes, of course. But like me, you've probably heard, I do Agile, I don't need architecture. I just, it's like a butterfly, it just evolves. So you guys all know what it is. Good, I'm not going to waste the time. But I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you do the architecture here? Oh, this thing sucks. The team does it. Yeah, it's part of the team. When does it, in this cycle, when would it happen? Continuously, right. You're going to do some of it. Here, 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 a lot of it there, right? That's where magic happens. Some people got that. Good, right? These are not the doors locked. Move on to the next one. These are not the droids you're looking for. I am your father, right? Okay. It happens continuously. Continuously. Now, does that mean that we're going to have rigorous documentation? Since we're having a good discussion, I figured I'd pick on you. Or does that mean we're going to have this rigorous documentation? We're going to do it all up front? When we're doing our architecture, when we're here, does that mean that we're going to architect 9 months out, 12 months out, 18 months out? Just continuously. So, in other words, I'll come into work tomorrow being Friday and I'll go, all right, let's figure out how the system's going to evolve today. Maybe. Maybe. How? Yeah, mostly in the planning meetings, correct. Crap, I'm looking for a prop and I can't find one. I'm looking for a napkin. How many of you have architected on a napkin at a bar at night? I love your face. You're like... All right, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to the whole bar at night thing. Let's talk about extreme programming. Now, extreme programming, you've got release plan, iteration plan, accept and test, stand-up meeting, all this stuff. The difference between Scrum and XP is this. These things are all the same, okay? Release plan, iteration plan. You've got your daily stand-up meeting. You have your sprint planning meetings. That's like the planning game in XP, okay? Now, where XP picks up, how many people do XP, first of all? Any XPers? Extreme programming? Sometimes. Okay, so we got a whole bunch of Scrum people. We got a whole bunch of people who know Scrum. We've got some people who do Scrum Butt, and then we have our Scrum people in the room. No XP, though. XP is like my chocolate to your peanut butter. You know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You ever seen those before? Chocolate and peanut butter go really well together, okay? XP just fits, it plugs right in here, right in there, okay? Test-driven development. Who does test-driven development? TDD, right. Awesome, good. Who believes in continuous integration? What does continuous integration get us? Feedback. Yeah, feedback's important. Feedback's important. How about refactoring or merciless refactoring? Anybody? Anybody like to refactor their code? Or better yet, how many of you can get it right the first time? Nobody can get it right the first time. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. XP plugs right in. XP, you've got a combination of engineering practices. You also have some project management stuff. Scrum is a project management framework. Extreme programming is all about engineering practices. The two, when done well, go together like, oh geez, umbrellas and rain. I mean, it's just perfect. They're made for each other. The problem is this is how most companies do things. Oh, yeah, doesn't that bring back painful memories for some? Excuse me while I update the project plan. Oh, it crashed. I have to reboot. Oh, no. Oh, I lost data. See you tomorrow. Why? I've got to recover the plan. Because that's valuable. A friend of mine likes plans. You may know him. Plans, right? Now, this is a big issue because the plans drive this sort of behavior. Let's go do our design. Let's go do our spec. Let's go build. Let's go test. Let's go release. And then we have a happy day ending. Who's on this path today? Come on. Come on. Don't lie to me. This should be half the room. Who's on? I see. Look at the people that are going like, if I keep it low, that guy's head's in the way and he won't see. Okay? Again, there's nothing wrong with this. When is this a great solution? When does this work? When everything is clearly specified. In the Army. I'll give you an Army story. It's not one of mine because I wasn't in the Army, but I have a friend. Anyway, when everything's clearly specified, when else? When are some other times that this works really well? when your project is... It's trivial. Yeah, it's simple. Yeah. How many of you are working on simple projects today? Raise your hands. Yeah, okay. None. Good. If your project's simple, this works great. If everything is clearly specified, and let me explain what I mean by clearly specified. Clearly specified means that the customer won't change their mind. Ever. It means that the technology is rock solid and will not change beneath our feet. It means that we understand everything completely 100%. In other words, we know the meaning of 42. Right? What's 42? It's the answer to the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. 42. If you have that, this works great. Now, like you, I don't work on simple projects. Like you, I have customers that change their mind. I also have, you know, people other than my wife. Real customers. Oh, crap, this is being recorded. You know what I'm saying with that. Published, yes. That becomes an issue, right? Because this... Does this drive trust? Does this drive our ability to respond to change? If you get here and there's a new requirement, what are you going to do? Ignore it. Issue a change request. If you issue a change request, where do you go? All the way back to here. And figure out how we're going to make the house of cards fit with the new set of cards. Right? Enter the job of the architect. Hopefully the system's modular, componentized, and we can sort of plug and play stuff. But if the customer wants things cheap, all right, I'll build cheap. You want a table? I'll build you a table. Just don't put anything on it. That becomes a problem. What's another issue here? Who remembers Windows XP? Good operating system. Good operating system. I like Windows XP. Remember when Service Pack 2 came out? We should all remember that, right? Because for you architect guys, it created a lot of headaches. Why? What changed in Service Pack 2? Yeah, all the security structure of the operating system changed, right? Remember? Firewall was introduced. Tons of performance increases came out of the back end. When you installed Service Pack 2 and you looked at it, did you suddenly have this moment where you said to yourself, wow, this is the operating system I really wanted. This is cool. I'm sure you had that euphoria with Windows 7. I won't say any more. But I had that. I installed Service Pack 2, and I said, why didn't Microsoft give me this? Well, because there were a variety of reasons. People didn't know what they want. We didn't know the path that we were able to go down. Things emerged. Remember, you guys hear about the Department of Justice problem that Microsoft had? Yeah, where we got sued and we were a monopoly and you're bad and we're good because we're the government. That sort of caused problems, okay? So we had to go to this B point because that's what the plan said, and then we went to C. Not very fun. Now, other approaches to this. Let's do everything across the board. Now, do you remember what these were again? Design, spec, dev, test, release, all that stuff. Let's do everything across the board. Because when we do everything across the board, what we're able to do is we're able to realize not where C is, but that we don't want to go to B. And, right? Look at that one at the top. The architecture is not fully defined up front. Now, this is where people might look at me and start to flinch. The architecture is not fully defined up front. Is that okay? Raise your hand if that is okay. Raise your hand if it's not okay. Thank you for being honest. The ongoing debate that I always have with my architect friends is, can we fully define something up front? There are some people that believe that we can. That's fine. There are some people believe that we can't. That's fine, too. The real question becomes... Oh, crap. The real question becomes this. Maybe Christian will help me out if he's still in the room. Is if this black line is features, I'll walk it back there, don't worry. If I can turn my head. The red line is architecture. Now. Okay. The black line is features. The red line is architecture. Who's seen this before? Anybody seen this diagram before? Black is features. Red is architecture. You have the intersection of the two points. The intersection of the two points is where magic happens. I thought I threw this in the trash. The intersection of the two points is when the architectural work starts going down and the features really ramp up because everything's stabilizing. God, this thing sucks. Okay? How many of you have experienced that? A handful. Now, here's the thing, is when we talk about what do we need to do to get there, we have to, again, let's go back to what I said earlier, we have to think differently, right? We have to think differently, we have to approach problems differently. Not more of the same, not better, but different, and worse is okay. Because if you're going to fail, when do you want to fail? As soon as possible, right? If we're going to fail, let's screw it up right when we start so we can get on with being successful. Customers, of course, will come back to us and say, we don't want you to screw up at all. We don't pay for that. We don't pay for you to be stupid. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm a guy. I mean, I can't really help. I tell my wife that all the time. Here's a background on a system. This is the first Agile project I ever ran. This was at Microsoft. It was a Radius authentication engine. We called it Falcon. Here's some project background items. Designed to support about 15 million users. Is that big or small? It's an okay size. It's respectable. About 1 million lines of code. And it was about a 50-50 split with test code to production code. Is that big? Is that a high ratio? 500,000 lines of test code? Yeah, it is. Okay? You'll see why that's important here in a minute. Fully immersed Scrum and XP teams, 85% code coverage. Is that a good code coverage number? Is it respectable? Is it acceptable? Is it hard to achieve? It's hard to achieve. Why is it hard to achieve? We did it out of the gate. We didn't know any better. We thought it was low. Why is 85% hard to achieve? I mean, I now know better. Help me out. Tell me why. You TDDers, why is it hard? Test-driven development guys, is it hard to achieve 80-85% code coverage? It depends on the architecture. Okay. Let me look at this. So, this is important. Demoable and shippable at the end of every sprint. What this means is we were able to push this system into a production environment and have end users using it. Are you with me on that? So, unfortunately, what's on my screen is not what's on your screen. It's over there, though. So, look at that. Look at the little monitor. Three databases, authorization, authentication, and logging. With me? Up there we have the cloud, customers coming in and out, UDP Radius packets coming in and out. Getting a Windows Server cluster. On top of that was sitting a C++ plugin that we wrote for the IAS Radius component inside of Windows Server. XML was then passed to a bunch of web servers where they decided to do things and stuff. So based on what was in the packet, decisions were made. Given this basic architecture, how were we shippable every sprint? How? Just so you know, I'm comfortable with silence. What did we define as shippable? Goes to production. Usable by customers. Shippable. It met our done requirements. It was tested. It was secure. It passed our SwiTrack initiative, stuff that we had to do inside the company. Anybody work at Microsoft? Who works at Microsoft? Anybody? Past, present, future? So SwiTrack is the strategic windows initiative. It's a gauntlet of things that you have to do. A colonoscopy is more fun. Way more fun. I'm turning 40. I have these privileges now. Way more fun, okay? It passed everything that we needed to do to ship. Because of planning, okay? So we had good planning, therefore we enabled the shipping of the things and the stuff. I'm sorry? The changes were small enough? The changes were indeed small. Now remember, let's go back to that brain slide, the think differently slide. I have a feeling you guys are stuck in the world of today. Let me take your reality and replace it with my own. So I've just, like Mr. Anderson had the option in The Matrix, right? Come on, Mr. Anderson. We're going to wipe the slate clean. How did we ship it after 30 days? Very basic functionality. Was the functionality end-to-end, top to bottom? It was. Core connections. We had basic core connection functionality. Keep asking me questions. You're so close. Well, four of you are. Ask me more questions, please. We supported 2 or 3 users. You're only 200 to 300% off. We supported 1 user. Absolutely. We supported 1 user. Why? Why was supporting 1 user the right thing to do? Because we were able to get feedback. What does continuous integration give us? Feedback. Do we value that feedback as developers? Hopefully. As developers, as architects, as people delivering software to customers, do we value the feedback? Absolutely. What is another type of feedback we value? End user feedback, right? So then the question becomes, how quickly can we push this thing out the door to be able to get feedback from our users? And how are we going to architect it over time? Do you think that this system, at the end of the first sprint, shipped with databases? What did it ship with? Mocks? No. Close. There was actually a mock that somebody said it, by the way. Stubs? No. No stubs. It all worked. Ding, 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 ding. Text files. Now, was there code in here? Yeah, there was some code here. There was a lot of code up there. Again, that was the riskiest thing. You know why? Because the team looked and we said, wow, we got to write a C++ plugin. Hell, none of us have written C++ in 5 years. How are we going to do this? And of course, my response was, yeah, sucks to be you. But I have faith that you will figure it out and solve the problem and we'll ship it in 30 days. And they went, where's the whiteboard? Where's the whiteboard? But the whiteboard was the key. Our database is easy if you know how to do them. Yeah, right. Compared to writing unmanaged code that you haven't had any experience with in the past 5 years, absolutely, they're way more easier. So we sat down with the team. I sat down with the team, and we had a discussion, which was my goal. I want customer feedback in 30 days. We can't possibly do it. Guys, you can do it. How are you going to do it? Well, we'd have to create a lot of throwaway work. Okay? What's the problem with that? You're a PM. You want us to do throwaway work? No, I want customer feedback. Well, then we'll have to do throwaway work. Fine. Customer feedback is more important. But that doesn't give you free rein to just go willy-nilly and do whatever in the hell you want. Come up with a high-level architecture and a plan that we can follow over the next 6 months. Remember when I said they went to the whiteboard? That's exactly what they did. And this was what they came up with. Now, there were speed bumps along the way. When we went and implemented this system, the logging system, there was a difference of opinion. One team member said, this approach, the Captain Awesome approach, will work way better than the old stinky approach that we came up with several months before. Remember when we were on the whiteboard? He said, I'm so confident in this that I think that it will work and it will make it faster. We'll be able to get it out the door sooner and it will be more stable. So we had a discussion about it, about a 3-day discussion. Whiteboard after whiteboard after whiteboard was gone through. Photograph after photograph after photograph was taken. Eventually, we came up with a solution, and I, as the product owner, bought off on it. Said, fine, John, we'll go down that path. We're 14 days into it. Guess what he says to me? Or actually, he doesn't say anything. Guess what he does? He's sitting here on the keyboard, right? Buddy's next to him, and he goes like this. He leans back in his chair, puts his hands on his head, and he goes, what does this tell you? What am I communicating right now? We're screwed! Okay? It's not going to work. So what happened? We evaluate. We look at the path we went down, why it was wrong. We learn from why it was wrong. We look at our original approach. We come up with a combination of the two. We end up shipping something that is more robust and faster anyway. Now, we would have never done that had we developed a strong, rigid architecture in the beginning. We would have been locked into it. Now, remember, I didn't say no architecture. I said everything. We had a plan of the direction that we were going to go. We knew the path. We had a rule on that team. The rule was, your architecture has to be written on a napkin. Going back to the napkin joke. Has to be written on the napkin. The first architecture, the first solution that you come up with on the napkin will be thrown away. Going back to failing early. Why will it be thrown away? Because it's probably going to be the wrong one. So get it out on a napkin. Don't waste a lot of time. Everybody gets napkins. I went and bought them. And then after that, we'll talk about the napkins, and then we'll get up on the whiteboard and figure out the problem. And we did that continuously over time. Now, what we did not do was we did not say, okay, well, here we are in sprint one. Let's only architect for that. We said, we're in sprint one. How do we want to do the architecture evolving over time out to here, knowing that the things closer to the center need to be more rigid, more structured? The things that are farther away can have less definition. They're like the Pirate's Code, guidelines. Pirates of the Caribbean, anybody? Good. Okay. That was how we had to do it. Now, this drove the architect that was working with us, drove him crazy. Absolutely crazy. The reason it drove him crazy was because in his eyes, now he was an XP guy, he felt that we should have been looking farther out. So what we did, understanding that he had great domain expertise in software architecture and design, especially applications and systems like we were building there, We said, we would like to hire you. And he said, that's good, because our boss, Mike, has already put me on this project. Mike trusted us. The other guy didn't. So what we did was we set up meetings once a week to review with the subject matter expert. Here's the plan that we have. Here's the direction we think we want to go. Give us your wisdom. The job of the architect on an agile team is one of two things: either person doing the work or providing the direction and helping making others better. Those of you that are software architects, why are you in your position? Did you go to school for it? Anybody go to university to become a software architect? Did anybody go to school to become a programmer, take computer science, software engineer? Those of you that are architects, do you have a software engineering background? Great. And you're probably in the position that you are is because you have a lot of experience, knowledge, and information that you can share with others to help make it better, to help make them better, to help make our companies better. So when it comes down to then is, how do we do it? Well, number one, we have to understand what it means to be done. We have to understand what it means to be done. Now, these are two done lists generated by two separate teams. Notice right here. What does that say? Can you guys read that? Code written. We're done with a story when the code's written for it. What else does it say? Ooh, here's my favorite one. We're done with a sprint when the architectural diagrams have been updated. Those of you that say agile means no documentation, nah, you're wrong. Okay? What does it mean to be done? Again, this goes back to professionalism. This goes back to adulthood. Software does not mean writing code, checking it in, and hoping that it compiles when you give it to a tester. We've all seen that, right? And I can guarantee you, we were probably all there at one point in our career. Hey, it's checked in. I'm going home. I'm done. Does it compile? Don't know. Don't care. I don't care if it compiles. I don't care if it builds. I don't care if it's commented. I don't care if it's tested. I'm going home. Yeah. And I like how you said that. It was working on my machine. Not it is working on my machine. It was. Hey, it was working 10 minutes ago, but I shut my machine down. I got to go. All right. There it is again. Architectural diagrams updated. Where's the UML? Where's the UML? Oh, here it is. Threat modeling and analysis. UML diagrams updated. Acceptance testing complete. What you need to do when you look at an agile project from a software architectural standpoint is figure out in your mind, not how am I going to build the most elegant, beautiful solution up front. It becomes the question of how are we going to involve the customer to get their feedback so that the system can grow organically over time. Now, the risk is that we build a system that's wrong. Do we run that risk if we have a big upfront design? Yeah. And we also run that risk if we don't involve the customers and we build something that's weak doing Scrum or XP. Your job as software architects needs to be not one of demanding that teams upfront stick to a rigid plan that you've created. Your job is to help make other people better. There's a saying that I use called the truck factor. It's more applicable here to call it the train factor. How many people on the project need to get hit by a train in order to kill the project? If that number is one, you're screwed. The train factor. It's an easy risk management technique. If the number's one, you're screwed. There you go. This done list is one of the things that enabled us to release on a regular basis. It was communicated to the security team. It was communicated to operations. It was communicated to stakeholders. Across the board, the architects that we worked with, the person I'm thinking of explicitly, looked at this and signed off on it and said, this is great. I'll go through and I'll look at your notes. and I'll look at your feedback, and I'll look at the comments in the code, and I'll look at your design documents that you're creating as you're gathering requirements over time. So then the question became, how are we going to do it? Again, my friend Homer. How are we going to do it? Here's one way. That says architecture. Does everybody know what an Xbox is? Xbox 360. So, this photo was taken about a month ago. Yeah, good, you can't read the stuff that you're not supposed to anyway. This photo was taken, actually I take it back, it's 2 months ago now. 2 months ago now, Xbox team, the Xbox Live Services Engagement team, is figuring out what they're working on for the fall. Now this is a team with about 150, 200 people. They're located and some are distributed. And they need to figure out how they're going to make everything work together. Notice, let me get you the real picture because you're sort of missing things from perspective here. So I want to show you the pictures here. So I'm going to step out of the deck. And 2010. This was in April. There it is. That's better. Now let me find the picture I want. So that guy up there is my buddy John. He's all happy. Let's start with this one. This is, you guys know patterns and practices? So this is the patterns and practice team space, okay? Notice the size of this, floor to ceiling, okay? Floor to ceiling. They have a projector up on the ceiling, so I'm going to stare at it so I can narrate you through it. Offices are open. This is the team space. I know you can't see it, but look what's on the back wall there and then the green. So what you get is you get these environments where teams are able to work together. The architecture evolves organically over time. Now, I'm not saying that it evolves in real time. Real time and organically over time are two totally different things. Real time is what the TV show 24 is about and what we're doing right now. Okay? This is, how are we going to solve the problem? We have these things coming up in the next 3 months. What's the architecture going to look like? Ooh, that reminds me. I had this talk with one of these stakeholders, and he said to me that we have this other thing coming up. How should we plan for that? We better consider that. There's more stuff inside the PAG space. Does this look like anything that you guys do in your daily or jobs or weekly jobs or whatever kind of jobs you have? Do you do stuff like that? Make boxes and circles and lines? Architects? Yeah, I make boxes and circles and lines. Right. And you put text in them, too. Sorry. People think that... Let's see what else we got in here. Yeah, there's more good stuff. Look, there's a person. User representation, stick figure. Okay? There, that's a good one. There's your stick figure dude over there again. Here's more team space. Peg. Hallway. Don. Anybody know Don? He travels around. I ran into him in Amsterdam once. It was funny because I'm like going to get a coffee. I just got off the airplane at 6 in the morning. Mitch? Oh, crap. Who is this now? Oh, hey. Come on, brain. Come on, brain. Come on, brain. Don! That one didn't work. All right. You guys know what Enterprise Library is? Anybody like Enterprise Library? Okay. Look. What's it say up there? Top right corner. This is right before release. So I decided, again, I'm I was doing a session in China, and people wanted to know how, you know, what's an agile space look like. So the architecture comes in nicely. Now look at what they've got. Go, oh crap, where is it? There we go. Okay. Release plan. Architecture, noise, more architecture. How do you think they document this? Pictures. Where do the pictures go? No, no, they don't go on my... You... I'm going to give you the tisk of disapproval. Right? No. They go into a repository, yeah. You know where I like to put them? I like to put them in the code branch. Doesn't that seem weird? Why would we put a JPEG in a code branch? Why not? Exactly. Why not? Why? Because it's a representative of what the system looked like on that day. It's a resource. You don't need to bust out Erwin to make fancy pictures. You don't need to bust out Visio to make less fancy pictures. Unless, of course, you're using Visio 2010 Enterprise Edition with new fancy ribbon. Okay? I mean, there is absolutely no secret to agile and architecture. Come on, brain. Architecture and agile. What it comes down to is a change in mindset, a change in not having to rely on that big design up front. That's it. Once I was able to let go, and going back to this slide, once I was able to let go and figure out, all right, I don't have to bet the farm up front, because I just bet the farm on the last project and it cost me a 6-month change and a total re-architecture of this stupid thing. Still bitter about it. I don't have to do that. All right. The reason why that's important is because when I bet on the perfect plan, I'm lying to myself. When I slice the functionality across the board, when I get the functionality across the board like this, I'm able to go through left side, right side, customer feedback, validate, expand. Remember, instead of going up and down, I'm expanding. I'm expanding the path that the customer takes. Just another snapshot. Here's another system that we used the exact same approach on. Win32 client server application. You had a bunch of workstations. You had integration services that we were managing in the middle, and we had 11 backend systems that we had to integrate with. The end of the first sprint. We didn't cheat again, and it actually wasn't one client. It was any client you wanted. It was 5 specific users, and they were able to place an order. This was for a vehicle manufacturer. They were able to place an order for a single type of vehicle class. That was it. Would you like to place the order? Yes. What engine would you like, A or B? I would like A. Two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive? Four-wheel drive. Great. Purchase. The order got sent down to the manufacturing floor. The vehicle got built, and it came out per those specs. It was painted white. Customers don't want white. Customers want different colors. Oh, so what you're saying is that we need to add the ability to allow you, the salespeople, to change the color? Well, yeah, that and everything else. What's the most important? Is color more important than transmission? Is two-wheel drive more important than four-wheel drive? You tell me. Yeah, this was me asking the customer. The customer says we need everything, right? We love customers. Wouldn't our jobs be great if it wasn't for the customers? Our jobs would be great if it wasn't for the customers. Okay? Plans, photos, summary. I want time for questions. Now, a friend of mine told me to put some neat quotes in here, so I did. Architecture is alive and well in agile projects, but only if you're hands-on. If you're unwilling to be hands-on, maybe you should keep your hands off. Okay. Software architects do not go away in agile projects, but they may need to do more than just make pictures. What I mean by that is, instead of just spewing wisdom, type it too. Type it. Help make others better. Usually the architect is the senior guy in the company or a senior person in the company. Your job is to help make others better. Help make the company grow. Help make people, help make teams more reliable, more stable, more able to make their own decisions. So that way you can sit back and go, this is easy. If you need me, call me. I'm just going to be basking in my awesomeness. Okay? Software is a team sport and is creative. Work together to achieve the best results. If you hand things off, here, I'm done. Here's the design. Go implement it. Well, what does it mean? Read the spec. You know those people, right? Read the spec. Well, I asked the spec a question. It didn't give me an answer. Well, that sucks to be you then. I don't have time for you. Okay, I will assume the following. We all know what assume means, right? In English, how do we spell assume? A-S-S. U-M-E. Assume. Make an ass out of you and me. Ensure that teams are learning from your expertise, and then, this is the one I laughed at. The only people who belong in ivory towers are captured princesses. Any captured princesses in here? Here's some resources. You want to go read up on me or do the Twitter thing, knock yourself out. Jeff Sutherland has the great Scrum papers out there. Mike Cohn, this is Mike's new book. I call it the Agile Bible. Because, it is. I'm actually working on a book right now. I hope I can fall in his series. His book kicks ass. Use it. If you're working on legacy projects, Working with Legacy Code by Michael Feathers is another wonderful book. Another wonderful book. And then there's a bunch of... There's Clean Code by Bob Martin. Have you guys read that one? It's got a blue cover. Clean Code. That's an easy one. Clean Code, right? The opposite of dirty code. And then so forth and so on. Who's got questions? Who has the first question? Come on, you got 6 minutes. I'm not letting you out that early. Want me to tell another joke? You guys who missed the joke, you're like, well, what's he talking about? And everyone else is like, oh. You good to... Oh, the Army story. Yes, yes. I'll tell you the Army story. Yeah. No. You want to hear the Army story now? Let me tell you why. At the end of the day, every sprint, you want to be potentially shippable. You want to show some sort of customer value. It could be that you're only delivering a couple stories, and it could be that the architecture behind those stories is developing. It's big. It's emerging. That's fine. But what you should never do is go, okay, we're going to do the sprint one. Sprint one, two, and three will be the architecture sprints. Now, you laugh, but right, I've heard it, and so have you. Yeah, sprint four will be the development sprint. So we'll sprint 5, and then sprint 6 through 12 will be the testing and integration sprints. Come on, guys. What does that really mean? It means that we suck, and we're going to deliver at the end, okay? Just remember this. What you want to be able to do is you want to say to your customers, we want to show you something. We want to identify that most critical path through the system. We understand there's going to be throwaway code, but the cost of the throwaway code is your feedback. Your feedback is far more valuable than us getting everything right the first time. Because as humans, when we see something, what do? We react. And when we react, what do we say? I wish it was a little different. Right? I really like the car, but the seat just doesn't feel right. or I really like the pillow, but, or I really like this, but, or I really like my beer, but I wish it was colder. I better drink it and get another one. It's these sorts of things, okay? Always focus on delivering pieces of customer value so you can get the feedback. If you don't want to do that because the cost of the throwaway code is too high, you have to understand what you're sacrificing. What you're sacrificing is the fact that, one, you might be building the wrong thing. Number two, the farther you go without feedback, the bigger the risk are that you're going to fail late. Why do we do continuous integration? So that we can find the problem early, fix it, and move on. That's what we're talking about. Now, the Army story. My buddy Mark, he's a captain in the United States Army, and his job is to coordinate everybody. What I mean by that is, I said to him, good, I got a couple minutes. I said to him, Mark, I don't get what you do. I mean, you know, he served in Iraq, and I'm very appreciative of that. He said to me, he goes, well, it's real simple. Imagine this. Imagine we need to attack something. Okay. I'll imagine that. He goes, it's my job to make sure that the ground troops, the missiles that were fired an hour ago, the planes that were launched an hour and a half ago from some other airbase somewhere else, my job is to make sure that everything arrives within a 10-second or 5-second window. Imagine architecting that. I said, wow, how do you do it? And he's like, I don't know. But I make it happen. So, anyway, thank you very much, guys. I hope you enjoyed your day. The feedback forms are very important. Please fill them out. And I'm giving you 2 minutes back, so have a great night.